Music Doodoo Classical Bedtime presents Amy Beach and the Rainbow Inside the Piano. What colour is this music? No, really. Close your eyes and listen. Is it silver, like moonlight on water? Golden, like afternoon sun? Maybe a deep, swirling purple, like the sky just before a storm? Most people would say that's a silly question. Music doesn't have colours, does it? But for one little girl born in New Hampshire over 150 years ago, music was full of colours. Her brain had a secret. It was a prism that turned every sound into light. Her name was Amy Marcy Cheney, and from the moment she was born, her ears worked differently than everyone else's. Before Amy could even talk, she could sing. Her mother would hum lullabies, and tiny baby Amy would hum them right back, perfectly in tune. By the time she was two, she could sing 40 different songs from memory. But here's the truly magical part. When Amy heard music, she didn't just hear it, she saw it too. As the notes floated through the air, they turned into shimmering ribbons and sparks of light. There's a word for this, synesthesia. It means her senses were all tangled up together in the most wonderful way. To Amy, the key of C major was pure white, like fresh snow. The key of E major was bright yellow, like sunshine streaming through a window. F sharp minor? That was black, deep and mysterious as midnight. Imagine having a rainbow living inside your ears. Amy's mother was a musician too, a singer and pianist, but she was very strict about Amy's musical education. She wouldn't let little Amy touch the piano until she was 4 years old. Can you imagine? All those beautiful keys right there, and you're not allowed to play them? Amy would sneak into the parlour and just look at the piano. Her fingers would twitch. She could hear melodies in her head, see colours dancing behind her eyes. But she had to wait. Finally, on her fourth birthday, her mother said yes. Amy climbed onto the piano bench and played the pieces she'd been composing in her head for months. Complete pieces, with harmonies and everything. Her mother nearly fainted. The colours Amy had been saving up came pouring out of the piano like water bursting through a dam. By the time Amy was seven, she was giving public concerts. Grown-up musicians came to hear her play and shook their heads in disbelief. How could such a small girl play such difficult music? Listen to this music. Hear how it builds and builds. Voices layering on top of each other, always reaching higher. That's the kind of energy Amy had inside her. Always reaching, always growing, never satisfied with standing still. But Amy's mother worried. She didn't want her daughter to become a circus act, a curiosity for people to gawk at. So she limited Amy's performances and focused on her education. And that's when Amy started to dream bigger. Playing other people's music was wonderful, but what about writing her own? Now, here's where Amy's story gets difficult. Because in the 1800s, people had very strict ideas about what women could and couldn't do. Women could play the piano at home. They could sing pretty songs at parties. They could teach music to children. But compose music? Write symphonies and concertos and masses? Create serious art that would be played by orchestras? That was for men only. At least, that's what everyone believed. The great music schools in Europe wouldn't even accept female students in composition. The famous orchestras wouldn't play music written by women. Critics laughed at the very idea. But Amy didn't listen to what everyone believed. She had colours trapped in her head, a whole rainbow waiting to escape. And she was going to set it free, no matter what anyone said. Since no school would teach her, Amy made the library her classroom. She found a thick, dusty book about orchestration, a secret manual that explained how to make a flute sound like a bird singing at dawn, and a cello sound like a heartbeat in the dark. How to layer instruments so they shimmer together like colours blending on a painter's canvas. But there was a problem. The book was written in French. And Amy didn't speak a word of French. Did Amy give up? Not a chance. She sat by the window with a French dictionary in one hand and her pen in the other. Word by word, page by page, day after day, she decoded the secrets of the orchestra like a spy cracking a secret code. Until finally, the French ink turned into American music. The knowledge poured into her mind like water filling an empty glass. And Amy was ready to build something enormous. When Amy was 18, she married a doctor named Henry Harris Aubrey Beach. He was much older than her, nearly twice her age. But he loved music. And he loved Amy, and he believed in her composing. There was just one problem. Dr. Beach asked Amy to stop performing in public. In those days, it wasn't considered proper for a married woman to appear on stage. Amy agreed. Her concert career fell silent, as quiet as an empty theatre. But oh, the silence on stage was not silence in her heart. Inside Amy's mind, the colours were louder than ever. Whole symphonies swirled behind her eyes. Choirs sang in her dreams. The rainbow had nowhere to go but onto the page. So Amy wrote, and wrote, and wrote. That music you just heard? It's from Amy's Grand Mass, the very piece she was working on during those quiet years. It's called Qui Tollis Peccata Mundi, Latin words asking for mercy. Can you hear the longing in every note? Like a bird looking out a window at the open sky it cannot reach. But Amy channeled all that feeling into something extraordinary. She decided to compose her biggest project yet. A grand mass. Now, do you know what a mass is in music? A mass isn't just one song. It's like a giant cathedral made of sound. Different rooms, all connected, each with its own mood and its own Latin name. The Kyrie is the quiet entrance hall where you whisper and ask for peace. To Amy's eyes, it glowed deep silver blue, like twilight over the ocean. But the Gloria? That's the grand ballroom, filled with light and trumpets and voices raised to heaven. Amy saw it as blinding gold and white, like staring into the sun. Amy decided she was going to build the biggest, most colourful musical cathedral anyone had ever heard. On February 7th, 1892, something amazing happened in Boston. The Handel and Haydn Society, one of the oldest and most respected musical groups in America, performed Amy Beach's Grand Mass in E-flat major. It was the first time a major American musical organization had ever performed a large-scale work by an American woman. The first time in history. The church was packed, women in rustling silk dresses, men in stiff collars and top hats, music critics with their notebooks ready, many of them expecting to write nasty reviews. A woman composer? Surely it would be amateur work at best. Amy sat in the audience, her heart pounding so hard she could barely breathe. Every colour she had ever seen in her mind, every note she had ever translated from that French book, every hour of work while her stage sat silent, it was all about to burst into the air. And then the Gloria began. Listen for the golden light. The trumpets and voices blaze together like the sun breaking through clouds. This is the grand ballroom of Amy's Cathedral, the room where everyone celebrates. Amy sat in that church with tears streaming down her face. The colours that had been trapped inside her for so long were finally free, flying through the air, filling every corner of the church, pouring into the ears and hearts of everyone who doubted her. This was her rainbow, finally visible to the world. The reviews the next morning, oh, they were wonderful. A remarkable work, wrote one critic, full of genuine feeling and musicianship. Another called it an accomplishment that would be noteworthy from any composer, regardless of sex. That last part is funny, isn't it? Regardless of sex. They still couldn't quite believe a woman had written it, but they couldn't deny the music. The colours spoke for themselves. From that day on, Amy signed all her compositions Mrs. H.H.A. Beach, using her husband's name as was the custom. But underneath that name, the rainbow kept growing, symphony after symphony, song after song. All those colours finally allowed to shine. Amy and her husband were married for 25 years. And then, in 1910, Dr. Beach passed away. Amy was heartbroken. She missed him terribly. For a while, the colours in her mind seemed to fade to grey. But then, something stirred. Something that had been sleeping for a very long time. Remember how she had promised not to perform in public? Well, now there was no one to keep that promise to. And Amy realised something important. She wasn't just Mrs. H.H.A. Beach. She was Amy. Amy Marcy Cheney Beach. A composer and a performer. A whole person with a whole rainbow inside her. At the age of 43, Amy walked onto a concert stage for the first time in decades. Her fingers touched the keys. Her own music, her colours, filled the hall. And the audience went wild. Listen to this next piece carefully. The violin is Amy's voice. Finally free, finally soaring, finally saying everything she had kept inside for 25 years. And the piano beneath it? That's the wind under her wings, lifting her higher and higher. Can you hear how the violin reaches up and up and up? Like a bird who has finally remembered how to fly. Amy began touring Europe, playing her own compositions in concert halls from Germany to England. Audiences who had never seen a woman composer in their lives stood on their feet and cheered for her rainbow. Amy Beach lived to be 77 years old. She spent her last years in New York City, still composing, still performing, still seeing colours in every chord. She wrote over 300 works in her lifetime, songs and piano pieces, chamber music for small groups, that magnificent grand mass, even a whole symphony, the Gaelic Symphony, the first symphony ever written by an American woman. And do you know what she loved most of all? The sea. Amy grew up near the ocean in New Hampshire. She spent summers on the Massachusetts coast, listening to the waves crash and whisper. She wrote that when she heard the sea, she saw colours she couldn't even name. Blues and greens and silvers all swirled together, like the inside of an abalone shell. The sea, she said, taught her everything about music. The way waves build and break, the way storms arrive and pass, the endless rhythm of tides going in and out, painting new colours on the shore forever. Because of Amy Beach, doors that had been locked for centuries began to creak open. Other women saw what she had done and thought, if she can show her rainbow, maybe I can show mine. Orchestras began, slowly, reluctantly, to perform music by women composers. Music schools started accepting female students in composition. It didn't happen overnight. It took decades. It's still happening today. But every time a woman picks up a pen to write music, every time a girl sits down at a piano and thinks, I want to compose my own songs, Amy Beach is somewhere in that story. She showed the world that great music doesn't care who writes it. Great music just wants to be born, to burst out of someone's imagination in all its colours and fly free. So the next time you hear music, any music, try closing your eyes. What colour do you see? Is it warm like red, or cool like blue? Is it bright yellow like a summer morning, or deep purple like the moment just before you fall asleep? If you have a little bit of Amy Beach's magic living inside you too, your very own rainbow waiting to shine. Good night, and may your dreams be full of colours.